Good afternoon, and welcome to the Banff Podcast. I am your host, Walt Robillard, because zombies might have eaten Mike Lafferty. We are going to be talking about martial arts in comics. Who's our favorite? And we have Steve joining in. Hello, Steven.
Hey, guys.
We have a esteemed roundtable today to talk about martial arts and martial arts in comics. We're going to start from my left, going with Mr. Charles Rice. You there, Chuck?
Yes.
Excellent. Good afternoon.
Howdy.
We have Mr. Ryan Danks of Reroll Productions.
How's it going?
Sir. And Mr. Steven Trussman. Did I say that, sir?
Trustrum.
Trustrum.
Come out where the gods don't call.
From Misfit Studios, how are you, sir?
Not too bad. How are you guys doing?
Trying to stay out of trouble. And who's your co-pilot?
This is William. He's a little sick, so I'm just looking after him for a second while his mom's getting dinner ready. So,
awesome.
He's a little squirmer.
That's okay. Let's see. Hopefully, he'll test some of your martial arts skills, and we'll catch it all on video. So today we're talking about martial arts and comics. What do we like? What do we don't like? If we have any favorites. Earlier, Ryan and I were discussing martial arts and film, and as far as it relates to the spy genre, and that when you see stuff on film, and a lot of times when you see stuff in comics, you get these very elaborate fight scenes, but you don't really have an explanation of what they're doing. It's just dudes punching and throwing and stuff. Do you guys ever look at that and say and pinpoint like somebody like Daredevil, like, oh yeah, that's ninjutsu, or look at Captain America and be like, oh yeah, he's doing that World War II stuff?
Not really. it's rare that you'll actually see something that you can pull out and recognize. It's usually because it's just choreographed, right? It's someone saying, would it be really cool if someone did this right now, and they don't really stick to a style, so cinematic that it just bypasses that aspect of it, in my opinion.
Chuck, right. What do you think?
I don't recognize individual styles as much. I will say that there's a great Donnie Yen movie, Flashpoint, where I think probably has the best fight scene of any martial arts movie, because like they're grappling, they're resisting grapples, they're trying to choke each other out, they're going after joints. Like it really kind of looks like the way someone would actually fight,
as opposed to all being choreographed and put this fist here while you jump here.
Right, as opposed to just the acrobatic, you know, long range kicking and you know, they're Donnie Yen spends almost the entire fight attempting to get I believe he's fighting Colin Chow, who's also a great Hong Kong star. He spends the entire fight basically trying to get him in a chokehold and choke him out, and he eventually does.
Ryan, opinions on martial arts and trying to peg down martial arts?
Well, for me, comic books, I got into martial arts just before I got into comic books when I was a kid, and so for me it was always, did they show it right? Like, you know, oh, they drew that kick, it's perfect, I can recognize it. But whenever they release things saying, like, you know, oh, this is, you know, like Nightwing practices Kali and Jeet Kune Do, you know, I'm like, well, but they never draw, I do Jeet Kune Do, and I don't see that. But then, you know, they might copy like Bruce Lee's stance or something, and that's about it, though. They don't, like, except for giving him a pair of sticks, it's rare in comics that you see techniques taken from a style that they say, you know, oh, yeah, this guy does this. Except for, I guess, Captain America. They call him doing a blend of boxing and judo and a bunch of other stuff. So they do a judo throw or a boxing, you know, punch, which is everyone. But it's rare that they draw it to make it look like the actual style, in my opinion. That's one of the things that gets me, because I'm excited when they actually do get it right. Then that makes the comic for me.
Well, most people don't even draw a punch properly when it comes down to it. It's always the swing, you know, it's the center where you're pulling back and you see the fist go by on a steady path, you know. It's like, okay, he actually connected. You know, why isn't it moved at all? It's none of that, you know, aim for 3 inches behind it or anything. Cinematic mess versus reality. So,
right.
And that actually brings up a good question. Let's go around the table, and a lot of the guys, in fact, everybody here has some sort of involvement with a product that includes martial arts as a heavy focus. So, let's go around the table, and what have you done when you guys were instituting, like for example, we'll start with you, Chuck, just because that's how the lineup is on my screen. How much research did you do when doing something like Blood and Fists or any of the products that used martial arts as a focus?
I did a ton of research for Blood and Fists. Reading a lot about styles and. Because I really wanted, that was the main thing I wanted with that book, was to try and get it right, to try and do something that that would be fantastical, but I was going for something not only grounded in reality but grounded specifically. In other words, you know, I wanted Shotokan to feel different from Taekwondo mechanically.
Ryan, how about with Jade Punk?
Well, in the Jade Punk core book, it's mostly about the Wuxia feel. But I'm working right now on our second supplement. Second martial arts supplement. The first martial arts supplement, when I went in, I already have all of the martial arts that I want to do lined up, and I went more from a cultural perspective of, I didn't want to copy any martial art, but I did want to showcase that these have a basis in our reality. Because, you know, if you're a fan of samurai, you want to play someone who wields a, you know, a katana or something similar. But what I did was I took, because I have a pretty wide range of martial arts in my background, and so I would take elements of one or two and kind of blend them together, and then create a culture that would allow for that martial art to grow in it. That makes sense, you know, like. What the samurai do with kenjutsu wouldn't make sense to come out in, say, the Philippines. There's too much difference in their culture, how it would evolve that way. So I took it from a cultural standpoint, and then built from there. Because I feel that you can't, and I think we're seeing this in today's modern MMA, you can't divulge too much of a culture's, of a martial art, you can't take it away from the culture and not have it change. You know, whatever culture it's in, it's going to adapt and it's going to modify based on the needs of that culture. So I think it's really important to look at what is actually creating this martial art. You know, people in space are probably not going to do Taekwondo, you know, if they're on spaceships, because it's unrealistic. So those kind of things, you know, the environment breeds different needs that we'll showcase in the art, I feel. And that's what we did with Jade Punk, is come from that point of view.
Steven, what about metahuman martial arts?
Well, originally I was one of the more prolific writers, third-party writers for Superlink, which is the second edition of Mutants and Masterminds. So I really liked martial arts supplements. The one for Palladium, Ninjas and Super Spies was one of my all-time favorites, you know. Putting the system aside, I think everybody has to say that when they talk about Palladium system, but I always liked how it approached martial arts and the overall direction it took. What I did is I did about a year's worth of research, got my hands on whatever beginner's guide to name the style, whatever, so you could see just generally what the, you know, it's always distilled a bit, and, you know, it's more formulaic than it would actually be in a real experience, but it gives you a starting point. And then I looked in other games and saw what they had done. And generally, as was just being said, I felt that the cultural aspect was very important for designing it, because When you get into game mechanics, someone's always going to disagree and say, well, I don't think that should go with that style. I don't think that's appropriately. Because you're taking something that's so varied and real and, you know, ham-fisting it into a rule system. So I think if you follow the cultural atmosphere, that has to be your starting point, and you just kind of work towards there. And I think, you know, someone's always, like I said, someone's always going to argue the finer details, but if you stay true to that cultural aspect as best as you're able as an outsider, I think people are overall happy with it. So MetaHuman Martial Arts had over 150 martial arts styles I wrote up in it, which I think is one of the more extensive gaming supplements. But it's also had like a bunch of ones that were made up. Like I had Yo-Yo Do, which was a martial art using yo-yo as a weapon, and Hip Hop Ryu, which was, you know, hip hop dancing karate. And so I had a lot of fun with it. And, I think that the Mutants of Mastermind system is what facilitated that. I don't think it would have been possible with a different type of mechanic. So it was a lot of fun to work on.
Now, please tell me that when you were creating either Yo-Yo Do or Hip Hop Ryu, that you were pleased filming this, and this is going to end up on YouTube at some point.
No. there was no emulation during the writing process. Actually, Yo-Yo Do, it was funny because it was suggested by someone. Someone was like, oh, I'd really love to see a martial art with a yo-yo, and I said, you know what, I'll toss it in there for you. And then there's a sample villain in there. Was it a villain or a good guy? I'm revising it right now for the third edition rules, and I haven't gotten to the NPC section yet. But there is a character in there who uses it just because I wanted to show how it worked in the game. And I even went, you know, like the maneuvers are pretty standardized in the game itself. But for that particular martial arts, you know, they each have a name that's related to the hip hop, like the jab is the pop, and you know, so forth. So it was fun to work on.
Nice. And when could we expect the revised edition of MetaHuman Martial Arts to show up?
I currently have about 25% left to do. I'm doing the tail end. The problem with this type of book is thematically it begins with like the archetypes and everything. Like I have to rewrite the standard martial artist, obviously, because I'm totally redoing how martial arts works in MMBE. And then you've got like the gimmicked archer and all this stuff, but you can't, and that's like the first fifth of the book, but you can't revise that until you've done all the feats, and then you've done the martial arts styles, and then as you're doing that, you're like, oh, you know, this uses a weapon, I've got to go and do this weapon so I can tell how much this does, so it's popping all over the place. So I think it's about 25% left, and then get some new art, I'm recoloring some of the art, so I'm hoping maybe mid-May, late April. You know, fingers crossed. My kid's been really sick, so that kind of eats up the time. The unexpected things.
Yeah, that's tough. But yeah, we're definitely looking forward to that. How about favorite kung fu guy in comics? When you think of martial arts in comics, who's your guy or girl?
Oh, geez. Do you know what? I loved him as a kid, but I haven't even thought about him for so long. I'm just trying to remember his name. Was it Shang-Chi, the Kung Fu Master? Was that what it was? I always remember the one where the little robot that his arch enemy had, the little sidekick, and after he was dead, I always remember as a kid getting freaked out by this comic book when he makes the martial arts robots that go after him and all this stuff. And I just loved it because it was, you know, he was obviously modeled after Bruce Lee more than a little bit, and so it had a bit of the old kung fu chop socky movies, and it was a bit of the James Bond, but then it went with you know, it had robots in it, so I just loved that comic book as a kid. And now I'm thinking about it, I want to go see if I still have some in my collection.
Well, if you got the Marvel app, it's probably hanging around in there somewhere. Ryan, we were talking earlier about the kind of martial arts differences between your first release in Jadepunk and now what you're doing in Shadowcraft. I'm sure your audience is familiar with Jadepunk, but can you give us a little pitch about Shadowcraft and how the fighting differs from one to another?
Right. To do the full pitch of Shadowcraft, it's on the Kickstarter page, which is live right now. We have 10 days left. But it's basically like, you know, a fey fantasy world based on the fey and Arcadia and all that. And you're spies in this fantasy setting. And it actually came up this morning. Somebody asked, because of my Jade Punk background, they said, are you going to do martial arts in it? And, you know, because martial arts is in Jason Bourne and everywhere else, they all know martial arts. And I said, well, you know, name me a spy movie that tells you which style of martial art they practice. They don't. They just have an incredible skill in hand-to-hand combat. And half of the James Bond movies, the incredible skill was kind of slugging it out Captain Kirk style. So it wasn't that impressive. But when you take Jason Bourne, I mean, we want them to be awesome because they need to be awesome. So we take things like, we basically are making it where everyone's assumed to just be great and you have a combat trait. And if it's high, you can fight with pretty much anything. It's got an aspect link to it because it's fate, so that'll help you determine exactly what you're good at fighting with. But for the most part, we're just saying, you know, everyone knows hand-to-hand combat, and that could be, you know, you're Captain Kirking, you know, two-fisting it, or you could define some kind of complicated trapping or grappling maneuver, however you want, and however you want your character to be portrayed. It's more of a narrative portrayal than an actual, in Shadowcraft anyway. Than an actual mechanic. In Jade Punk, it was much more mechanically focused because it's a Wuzhou Western steampunk mashup. So we had to mechanically differentiate things.
And as far as comic books go, what are we looking at for a favorite character, martial arts wise?
No, I was thinking about it when you said something, and I've got, for me, it's about who they. It seems to go in seasons. You know, like they'll be pulling, like this guy will be like the big guy for a couple of years, and then someone else will pick it up. So like Batman and Nightwing have always been favorites of mine. Shang-Chi, I remembered when he went up against Wolverine. This was my first time I ever was introduced to him. When Wolverine was all bestial, like in the late 90s, early 2000s, and Wolverine took him out in like 2 seconds. But I was like, wow, that guy's awesome. It's Bruce Lee in comics. I did really like. I got into him at that point. But I mean, as far as like traditional martial arts guy, I would have to say Ninjak from Valiant hits me in a nice warm spot. I really, really liked him when in the 90s, and when they teased about bringing him back out this new release, I've just been jumping all over him. I'm waiting for it. It hasn't come out yet.
No, I don't think it's come out yet. But did you see the contest they launched today?
I did not.
They're having a contest for illustration. So if for the best fan submitted Ninjak illustration, they're giving several grand prizes of like huge hardback collections, but they're also doing one grand prize of the New York exclusive Comic-Con, where you get a 2-day pass and you get to hang out with the Valiant crew.
Oh, nice! That'd be so fun. I wish I could talk.
I'm actually going to try and take a stab at it, I think. So, speaking of stabbing, Chuck, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Excellent. So, we were talking about stabbing, and you just happened to have this game coming out, which we've done on the podcast before and done a couple of actual plays, AZ. Can you tell us about AZ and what kind of... up close and personal zombie fighting we might see in the game?
Sure. AZ is a zombie survival game that I'm working on. It's pretty much feature complete at this point. Still playtesting it. Still some things are going to get tweaked. John Gibbons is currently working on the art, and it's looking great. You can see he's got the black and white cover up on Facebook. That looks really amazing. But so what I did for hand-to-hand combat in the game is I one of the main things I wanted to do, I didn't want any real specific martial arts style, because kind of the concept of the game is that you're for the most part an ordinary person who's growing into a badass as the apocalypse kind of rolls on, but I only wanted one hand-to-hand skill for armed and unarmed combat, because it always kind of, that sharp dichotomy that you see in some game systems always kind of bothered me. Like, if you look at anyone who kind of knows how to fight, you know, and this even goes to many standardized martial arts, you know, they're going to teach you some weapon elements too. So I just kind of made one skill that I call close quarters combat. And then I kind of borrowed some stuff from MMA, really. Like I have some perks in the game that if you want to focus on, like ground and pound or sprawl and brawl, like those kinds of just more general concepts.
And I can attest how nasty the game could be in one of our playtests. I was running a scholar who was fascinated with medieval combat, and got my longsword stuck in a zombie head and almost got eaten. So, yeah, that was. Next time, I think I'm going to let the guys with the guns handle things when it comes to combat. How about yourself, Chuck? Favorite guy who likes to punch and kick, or girl who likes to punch and kick in comics?
I'm an Iron Fist guy. I always for me, like the best martial arts comic of all time would be Deadly Hands of Kung Fu. The Neil Adams covers. Neil Adams painted a bunch of covers. He's a legendary comic artist. I'm sure most people know who he is from his work on Batman. But he did covers for Deadly Hands of Kung Fu, where he drew Bruce Lee and Kwai Chan Kane and Shang-Chi, and they're just amazing. Billy Jack, and they're just amazing. So I was introduced to Iron Fist through that, and then of course followed him through to when he teamed up with Power Man, which is a deeply silly comic, but I really love it.
Yeah, I wish they would bring that back, actually. But isn't there rumors that the Netflix series, Daredevil series, when they transition to other characters, they're going to bring in some Power Man and Iron Fist?
They're doing, as I understand it, they're doing four series. They're going to do a Daredevil series, a Jessica Jones series, a Power Man series, and an Iron Fist series, and then Marvel style, they're going to do like a movie with all four of them together.
Oh, I didn't know that last part. That's badass.
Yeah. And they're calling them the Defenders.
Nice.
So what about you? What's your favorite Kung Fu character?
Oh, God. I got a couple. My primary is going to be Iron Fist, just because I like the dichotomy of this rich jerk who finds that there's more to life than just money through the experience of martial arts. I came up in martial arts much like you, Ryan. I've been training for 34 years now, it's always, no matter how much of an arrogant jerk I can become, it's always been that part of me that brought me back and say, hey, there's always somebody better, there's always somebody you can learn from. So that was a huge deal to me. But I'd have to say, aside from like Iron Fist and Daredevil, my favorite of all time, and it's just because of one scene in one of his series, was Deadpool. And the reason I say
was it Brush Off the Butt that did it for you?
No, that's not it. When they decided to launch not just his limited series, but his actual, like, and I actually got the number one behind me, signed by the artist. When they decided to launch the series and do whatever, you know, he was on these like slapstick adventures and stuff, and then they brought him to a training camp because they were going to be sending him out on a mission, and they wanted to spruce him up on a few things, and they introduced him to Taskmaster. So they said, you know, he's going to show you how to fight like Captain America and blah blah blah, and he says to the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, you know, I don't need this jerk. And they decide to have like a little battle. So the Taskmaster is emulating Captain America and starts emulating Daredevil and going ballistic and starts beating the crap out of Deadpool. So Deadpool gets up, takes a second to let his healing factor kick in, and he says, "You know, Deadpool, I've seen your videos. I can do anything you can. So you can't beat yourself." And he says, "Oh, yes, I can beat myself." And then he decides to start kicking the crap out of the Taskmaster by using stuff like the Chicken Dance, the Macarena, and it was just one of those scenes where I could not stop laughing. And as I was on deployment, I think, when that comic came out, and I just needed a good laugh. And when he starts kicking the crap out of somebody by doing the Dying Cockroach, I just... I was like, you sir, are my comic book master. That
I remember awesome. That comic book.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, so, I had a lot of moments like that through it. It's fine.
You know, but I think one of the things that I like about him is his tactics for dealing with an opponent based on their psychology. In one of the original Deadpool miniseries, he's working against Black Tom, and Black Tom is dying from the powers that he has, and his buddy the Juggernaut decides to track down Deadpool because they think he might have a cure. And he comes out on a roof trying to get away, and he runs right into the guy, and he's like, "You know, Wade, there's no escaping me." He's like, "And, you know, just in case you're wondering and going to try anything stupid, nothing stops the Juggernaut." And he sits there and he goes, "Well, you know, that's funny because, you know, the Hulk, the X-Men, Spider-Man, it seems like a lot stops the Juggernaut." He's like, "You might have to think of a new tagline." And right as he goes to bullfight right through Deadpool moves out of the way and he falls 16 stories off a roof. So, I mean, you know, stuff like that, I really appreciate when the writer and the artist collaborate to make tactics not only fun for the reader but also something that's in keeping with the character. And speaking of that, I'd like to go around the table. Let's start with you, Steven. If you could take from any comic book universe and bring two martial artists together to have a throwdown, much like in the vein of the Bat in the Sun videos that are on YouTube now, who would you want to see get into a fight, and what do you think the outcome would be?
I would like to see Taskmaster versus Batman. I would love to see that. Just because, you know, Batman, as you say, he's all about the tactics. He's done the training and all that. But I've always had a soft spot for the guys who don't have the powers, but, you know, that's the thinking heroes. Sure, the billions of dollars help too, but and I think it would be good for Taskmaster because, as you're saying, he's able to emulate anyone. So it'd basically be every Marvel martial artist against DC's hand-to-hand poster boy. We can't let him get his butt kicked too much, or, you know, unless we're setting up for the big comeback. So I think it would just be something that would be a good thing to watch play out.
And who do you think would come out on top, in your opinion?
I think Batman would win just because Taskmaster, although he's got the hand-to-hand skills, the coordination and everything, I think Batman would just outthink him at some point. Which is, you know, that's... Pick up any Batman comic ends, he outthinks him. That's, you know, so it's predictable.
Ryan, between Batman and Taskmaster, who would you pick?
I think I would pick Batman for the same reason. I remember a comic, it was actually the first one of Hush, and Batman goes in to stop Croc, and he's got those mercenaries, and he has his little computer, onboard computer, I don't know how he fits in the cowl, but he's looking at this big guy, and it's running a dossier on him, and it says how he's this incredibly tough, strong fighter. So he says, "Let's just stay away from him," and he throws stuff at him and to stop him from afar. And I was like, "Yeah." So I think he would do something similar. He would recognize physically he's not going to beat Taskmaster, and he'll find another way. And Taskmaster is not going to be able to do that. He's not going to be able to outthink that. So,
yeah. As far as same question, you got two martial artists you'd like to see in the arena of doom. Who would you pick, and what do you think the outcome would be?
I would pick Daredevil and Tim Drake's Red Robin. Because in Red Robin, when they launched it 5-6 years ago, they had, I think it was, he was going up against the League of Assassins, and I think like issue 3, it was my favorite martial arts scene in any comic book I've ever read. And it was he ended up having to fight like 3 assassins at once. I mean, these are named assassins, not mook ninjas. And but they get into his mind, and he starts talking about how he's got to listen to Batman's training, put everything aside, don't think, that gets in the way. And the way it was written, it was just like, I almost ripped the page out because I loved it. It was so awesome. And that level of thinking that Tim Drake has, and the level of ability that he has, because he struggles with his martial arts, which I like that. He really knows what he's doing, but he struggles with the physicality of it. Daredevil, on the other hand, he's got the physicality down, but he doesn't always think. He kind of, a lot of times he just kind of jumps in, and then he finally discovers he's in trouble, and then he's got to think his way out, is a lot of times that the comics I've read. So I think it would be interesting to see these two go at it that way. And I'm split on who would win. Because I think in the beginning, Red Robin would have a hand up just because, you know, he would be thinking his way about tactically how to attack. I think Daredevil's, natural abilities and his powers would kind of tip the scales for a minute. But in the end, you know, is Daredevil's ability going to win out? Or is Red Robin's, skills and thinking like Batman, because he's that super detective, is he going to? I don't know. I'm split. I don't know who would win. I would actually just like to read it to see what I'd like to see it from 3 different writers and see each one's different outtake, because I just don't think one would do it justice.
Chuck, what's your opinion on the Red Robin Daredevil? Obviously, I'm pretty sure you can see what mine is. what do you think would win out in that one?
I think Daredevil would. Eventually, I mean, I think the fight would kind of start against him, but he's so much more physically powerful than Tim Drake. I think once he got his hands on him, it would go bad really quick.
And same question for you, sir. 2 enter, 1 man leave. Go. What do we have?
Mine, I think, would actually be if they were willing to write it the way I think it would actually happen, it would literally be that. I would like to see the Punisher fight the Joker.
Oh my God, that's awesome!
And one of them would die. It would have to be like a max rated comic, right?
And who would you peg for the winner of that?
I think I would go with the Punisher, because he's pretty dastardly. What was it? He fed the one mob boss to a bear.
That's
why I think it would be fun, because they're kind of both evil.
Yeah. I mean, you got seriously screwed up sensibilities on one side, and seriously just screwed up on the other. Steven, how would you land on that fight?
I would go with the Punisher as well. He's, frankly, the thing that keeps the Joker going is he's just nuts, and he's the kind of guy who would impale himself on a spear as long as he can climb up to get to you. But the Punisher is dirty enough, but he's also skilled enough that he would say, "Oh, you're climbing up my spear? Well, I'm just going to flip you over my head and start pounding the spear up and down on the ground with your head." You know, like it's. He wouldn't be caught off guard by anything that anyone does, essentially. So I think he would just make short work of him in the way that Batman really should have at some point. And just stop going, "Okay, I'm going to put you in Arkham and wait till you escape again." You'd just be like, you'd just be done with it.
Now, since we've been talking, we've all pretty much chimed in on, you know, who we really geek out on as far as our favorite martial artists in comics. And one of the themes that seems to run between all of us is that they're all male. Now, my wife is an avid fighter, and I know that she'd probably take issue with the fact that we didn't mention any girls. So, you know, just in case she watches this, do you guys have any opinions on some of the female martial artists that are out there? X-23, Lady Shiva, are there any people out there?
Lady Shiva.
Lady Shiva?
Yeah, because you go to anything like Elektra or Psylocke, it's just, you know, it's just, it's like, you know, let's just make the martial artist because it's fun, you know, the ninja assassin who dresses in red with the long flowing parts of her costume, you know, it's beyond just going with the cinematic, right? So I don't take those characters seriously, but Lady Shiva I've always liked.
Is there something particular about her that makes her stand out from the rest?
She's pretty badass. And I think that, you know, as much as she's limited by how the writers do her, I think she takes her art seriously and what she does seriously. But I do think that she's often underutilized. So.
And Ryan, how about yourself?
I actually like Psylocke, but not as my favorite. But I think she's a great character. But Elektra, I totally get where you don't take her serious. I'm the same way with Elektra. I'm an X-Men guy though, so Psylocke already gets a one up for that. But I was gonna say Lady Shiva because I really like her. I like the Arrow shows and seeing the same actress in Wolverine. I'm really liking Katana. I never really was a fan of her in the comics, but she's coming out. But I was a fan of, like, Batgirl 3. I really liked how she could kind of see everyone's emotional state. But I think my favorite female martial artist would have to be Black Canary, because you see her grow. She's one of the only comic book characters around where you see their martial arts grow over time. She started out really a really good fighter, and then she got like both her legs broken, and in that Birds of Prey. I'm a big fan of Birds of Prey, and you see Huntress. She's kind of just static all the time, but you know Black Canary recognizes I need to learn more, and so she approaches Lady Shiva. I guess they actually had similar masters in the past, but then she approaches her and then learns from her, and then you get to see this learning curve in her that you don't really see it in Robin. Robin's too cinematic. But you actually saw martial arts like evolve. You saw real techniques and things like that with her progression. And then she does do a fantastic job once they do, you know, once she gets up there. And I think it's related to Lady Shiva because I really liked Lady Shiva in that Birds of Prey. But I think I like the concept that she's learning and she's progressing. I think that they, in that series, they developed her personality really well as far as a hero who's already established but still has more to learn, and they show that. And then she actually holds her own against Shiva, and I was like, you know, yeah, she's awesome.
So Ryan, would you say that they write Black Canary that way because she's a woman? You know, they got to show more because of that?
I was thinking about that when I said it. I was thinking that the exact thing, and maybe there might be something to that. I personally took it from the idea of I've been there. I've been that guy that walks into school. I know how to fight, and then someone whips me up, and I learn that wow, this school's on a whole new level, and I have to learn. That's how I took it when I first read it. But as I've gotten older and grown, maybe there was kind of an agenda there on writing her that way because she's a woman and not letting her be at the level of Batman or someone like that just because. But then Lady Shiva was the one who trained her, who's also a woman, so I guess maybe one up for that, and it's not Batman doing it.
Well, I mean, like even more like they write in the technique. Like they make it more technically oriented because it's a woman. The audience is less likely to take it on faith that, you know, that martial artist is there, like, let's say, Batman, Robin, Nightwing, anyone. They focus more on the technique because they want you to see that because of who their audience is.
Oh, that, you know, maybe. Because I know that DC in general and it happens to be around the Bat family, does a pretty good job of it. Like, they show Nightwing, if he goes up against a bigger opponent, he has to make adjustments. They don't just have him throw martial arts and all of a sudden his kick is super powerful. So maybe they are messing with that concept that she's a woman, and so they have to show off that the technique and the tactical advantages and all that kind of stuff. Maybe. I don't know. I've never read anything on the writers or creators behind that series, so I'm kind of uninformed in that.
How about it, Chuck? Do we have female martial artist that you like?
Yeah, she's kind of a, I guess you would say, a supporting character. But I always really liked Colleen Wing.
I'm not familiar. Can you give me some background?
They kind of did this thing. I believe Chris Claremont created her. He kind of did this crazy thing where he made like female versions of Power Man and Iron Fist. So he had Misty Knight, who was like a black cop with a bionic arm, and then she was partnered with Colleen Wing, who was she's kind of a modern samurai. Like she's one of those. Her father is like samurai blood going, you know, back several hundred years, and he basically wanted her to be his son. And because he didn't have a son, and taught her all his moves. But she was just she's just a really intense character, and she's a, you know, a woman running around in the modern day with a samurai sword, which when I was a kid in the 70s, that wasn't something I had seen before.
Would you actually like to see more women running around with samurai swords?
Absolutely.
And in real life, I think everybody should go around with more samurai swords.
Also, black chicks with afros and bionic arms. More of that, too, by the way.
Oh, my God. As far as something you haven't seen yet in the martial arts represented in comics and comic book media, is there something you'd like to see?
Huh. I don't think so, because I do think in a way that comics they still kind of don't get it right in a lot of ways, but I'm not sure if that would make the story better for me. You know, if I could be like, oh yeah, I see what they're doing there. I kind of liked them in Grant Morrison's recent Batman run, that he really played up, like when Dick Grayson, Nightwing, takes over as Batman, he plays up that like Gordon watches him fight and he's like, that's not Batman. Like he's clearly like faster, almost more athletic in a way, definitely more acrobatic. So I kind of liked that, and I don't really think I had seen that before.
How about it, Ryan? Something that you'd like to see martial arts related show up in comics?
You know, I was thinking about it, and I used to want to see people take different styles, because everyone kind of has their style, and then mash it up, but we've seen that. Daredevil does it, Cap does it. And then I wanted to see in movies more comic book, or more like Kali and two-weapon fighting, but Arrow knocks that out of the park. They do a great job with that. And then one of the things I've always wanted to see was superhumans on Superman's scale use martial arts. But they did a fantastic job, as much as I hate the movie, in Man of Steel, especially in, when he's getting his butt whipped by, I don't know the female Kryptonian's name, but when he's getting his butt whipped by her in Smallville, she's using all kinds of martial arts techniques. So I think everything that I've always wanted to see, they kind of hit on. I guess I would really like to see more. If there was more of it, we've seen it, but more of it, is that learning curve. I'm kind of sick of a character coming out, and they're an awesome martial artist, and that's just they are, and that's it. I would like to see more people come out who are still, you know, they're good, they've trained, but they're still learning. And not the Laurel from Arrow's learning curve. She's getting kind of annoying. But the way that they portray her is getting annoying. And but I like that kind of learning curve, though, I would like to see. It's not so much what they're doing with her.
Steven?
Kind of going off of what Ryan says, one of my pet peeves with comics, and I'm sure everyone else here runs this problem, is that you can't look at a media like that without looking at your writer's perspective, right? Like, even when you're watching Arrow or something like that, you kind of guess where things are going because you think of it as a perspective. And one of the things that's always gone under my skin about comics is that Batman has never gone up to Superman and said, Clark, you know how you're always losing your powers and letting us down just when we need you most? Well, you and I are hitting the gym today, and I'm going to start teaching you some martial arts. So when that happens, you don't let everybody down. You don't get your ass kicked. You know, we're not screwed. How about it, big guy? And when you got your powers, you know, you'll be able to kick Apocalypse's ass because, you know, you'll know how to actually throw him over your shoulder instead of just taking it on the chin like a mook. You know, like, that's something I would like to see. Like, why does nobody say, hey, Superman, we're hitting the gym. You know, it's time for the heavy bag. We're going to teach you some martial arts. You know, like, it just never happens. They're just kind of like, oh, you know, he's got superpowers. You know, sure, he loses them every second comic, but, you know, they always come back. It always comes back to his fight against Doomsday in the 90s. You know, when he gets killed because he's just like, I'm going to keep going at him and just, like, blog really fast and punch each other on the chin. And you're like, no, see, if you actually knew how to grab his hand and throw him, you know, you wouldn't have died. If Batman at some point had said, buddy, you know what, I'm going to teach you some martial arts. You know, it just, I understand why as a writer you don't do that. You know, you got to have, everybody has to have their weakness. If Superman learned martial arts, it creates all different kinds of problems. But it would be something nice to see. Like, even if Batman just tried it and Superman kept falling down or something like that, it'd be nice just to have somebody realize that that option is there in the comic book.
Right, and they did it with Supergirl. They had her training on Supergirl.
Yeah, well, even in Captain America's always trying to get the Avengers to come with him in the gym, and I'll show you something, right? But then it's always in that moment, and every now and then I'll be like, oh, Captain America showed me how to do this, but through the rest of their comic book careers, it's all just like, let's pretend it didn't happen because it kind of paints us into a corner with what we want to have happen here. We'll forget that Captain America took him in and showed him how to do all this stuff. But then somewhere else be like, I cut the shield because Captain America threw it at me 20 times until I caught it. You know, it's always just a writer's gimmick. So right. I would like to see stuff actually introduce it into a story and acknowledge it.
Yeah, well, now what do you think of, because I 100% agree with you, especially in something like the Justice League where they're always together yet they never train. But what do you think about like Jubilee and Shadowcat having progressively had martial arts and they showcase that they have training from Wolverine and like it's a major part of their characterization now?
I like it. The problem is that I think part of the way they justify it is because it's two characters that they know are going to underutilize. Like Shadowcat and Jubilee are never going to have their own unlimited series. They have a mini series here and there. And, you know, but there's never going to be like, oh, Shadowcat number 200 finally came out, you know? So they don't have to invest themselves in that character. So it's one of those things where, like I said, because they're not always out in the spotlight, they can afford to do that kind of stuff. And then, you know, it's because they only get to shine at certain moments. It's almost like that type of training always has to be part of that focus. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yeah.
It's just because there's no great character development in them.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. It's very unfortunate we will not see a number 200 Shadowcat, because I would buy it.
I'm not going to cry over not seeing number 200 Jubilee.
No, Jubilee can... She can go, but Shadowcat's awesome.
Especially if it's life tells Jubilee with her pointy gesture toes and feet that get hidden behind rocks periodically.
Well, gentlemen, we're coming toward the end of the line as far as martial arts and comics. We'll start over with Steven. Any final thoughts?
Well, we talked about the ones we would most like to see. I would like to say that the martial artist I would least like to see in any crossover or anything is Midnighter. If ever there was an anti-martial arts martial artist, that would be him. Like, the nature of his superpowers is such, hey, I don't really know anything about martial arts, but I want him to kick ass. What can I do? He has a power that lets him just figure everything out and know what you're going to do. It's one of the most annoying character powers I've ever encountered, so he would probably kick anyone else's ass, but that's why I didn't mention him, because I just despise his powers. So. That's my Ryan. Final thought.
Ryan, final thoughts?
No, I had fun, you know. Thanks for having me on. This was a blast. I don't normally get to talk about comics or martial arts, and I got to do both. This is pretty fun.
Oh, maybe we can talk Mike Lafferty into having a second segment where we get the hosts all together in real life and, you know, put on the gloves.
Oh, that, dude, awesome.
It's been a little while since I fought martial arts. I think I would be at the bottom of that particular ladder.
And I have several injuries I'm healing, so I'm going to make sure I bring plenty of party favors to give me a hand up. Chuck, any final thoughts?
If we're actually going to have, like, a actual, like, martial arts tournament, I'm going to be the guy selling pretzels. That's my, that'll be my contribution. I'll bring the hot dog truck.
Oh, God. All right, so going back the other way, Chuck, if people want to find you on the internet, follow what you got going on AZ, is there anything that, is there, what's the best place to track you down and stalk you via online?
Well, you can find me on Facebook. I'm on Facebook as Chuck Rice. And if you want to know more about After Zombies, you can go to Facebook. The Facebook page is AZ After Zombies. So it doesn't get much easier than that.
Excellent. Ryan, we got a Kickstarter finishing up in a few days. Where can people stalk you on the internet?
Well, the Kickstarter's Shadowcraft on Kickstarter, naturally. I am Ryan M. Danks at Gmail. I'm also got ryanmdanks.com, which is my personal website. And then rerollproductions.com. Reroll Productions is my company that produced Jade Punk and hopefully, fingers crossed, Shadowcraft. But yeah, those are the, and then Facebook, Ryan M. Danks, Twitter, at Ryan M. Danks. I'm pretty much Ryan M. Danks everywhere.
Excellent. And Steven, we got a second iteration of Metahuman Martial Arts coming, which I am very stoked for. What else do you got coming from Misfit Studios, and where can people stalk you?
I'm trying to get the rest of my Superlink stuff out, so I've been really putting out a bunch of smaller PDFs, and it's all building towards a big monster conversion release as well. There's a lot of stuff that's kind of sitting on Metahuman Martial Arts coming out, so once that comes out, it's like the floodgates can open. Also, I can be found at misfit-studios.com, or you can put my name in, Steve Trush, like that, honest to alcohol. There's two of us in the world. There's one from Australia, and there's me, the other guy up in Canada, so I'm really easy to find. And my personal website is trustroom.com, which is completely unrelated to gaming. It's my other business, so which is about as far from RPG writing as you can get. So.
Excellent. Thank you. And just a quick shout out for Fainting Goat Games, which is, this is actually their podcast. I just happened to have hijacked it for the night. We got the Tarot Gang just released on Drive-Thru and RPG Now. So we get some cool Fate Accelerated action in the vein of Playing Card Gang. And it looks pretty groovy, so everybody should run on over there and check it out. My name is Walt Robillard. I am the head inkslinger for Hazard Studios. And thanks for joining us, everybody. We're out.